Chapter 19. I hope you have cut out and forwarded my printed letters to Washington. Please continue to do so as they arrive. I have had a tip-top time here for a few days, guest of Mr. Chno. Hooker's family, Beecher's relatives in a general way of Mr. Bliss, also, who is head of the publishing firm. Puritans are mighty straight-laced, and they won't let me smoke in the parlor, but the Almighty don't make any better people. Love to all, goodbye. I shall be in New York 3 days, then go on to the Capitol. Here's Affley, especially Ma. Comma, your Sam. I have to make a speech at the annual Herald dinner on the 6th of May. No formal contract for the book had been made when this letter was written. A verbal agreement between Bliss and Clemens had been reached, to be ratified by an exchange of letters in the near future. Bliss had made two propositions, viz. $10,000, cash in hand, or a 5% royalty on the selling price of the book. The cash sum offered looked very large to Mark Twain, and he was sorely tempted to accept it. He had faith, however, in the book, and in Bliss's ability to sell it. He agreed, therefore, to the royalty proposition. The best business judgment I ever displayed, he often declared in after years. 5% royalty sounds rather small in these days of more liberal contracts. But the American Publishing Company sold its books only by subscription, and the agent's commissions and delivery expenses ate heavily into the profits. Clemens was probably correct in saying that his percentage was larger than had been paid to any previous author except Horace Greeley. The John Hooker mentioned was the husband of Henry Ward Beecher's sister, Isabel. It was easy to understand the Beecher family's robust appreciation of Mark Twain. From the office of Dan Sloat, his roommate of the Quaker City and of the Innocents, Clemens wrote his letter that closed the agreement with Bliss. To Elisha Bliss Jr., in Hartford. Office of Sloat & Woodman, Blank Book Manufacturers, Nos. 119-121 William St., New York. January 27, 1868. Mr. E. Bliss Jr., Secchi American Publishing Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Dear Sir, your favor of January 25 is received, and in reply, I will say that I accede to your several propositions, viz. That I furnish to the American Publishing Company, through you, with MSS sufficient for a volume of 500 to 600 pages, the subject to be the Quaker City, the voyage, description of places, and sea, and also embodying the substance of the letters written by me during that trip, said MSS to be ready about the 1st of August. Next, I to give all the usual and necessary attention in preparing said MSS for the press, and in preparation of illustrations, in correction of proofs no use, to be made by me of the material for this work in any way which will conflict with its interest, the book. To be sold by the American Publishing Company, by subscription and for said MS, and labor on my part said company, to pay me a copyright of 5% upon the subscription price of the book for all copies sold. As further proposed by you, this understanding, herein set forth shall be considered a binding contract upon all parties concerned, all minor details to be arranged between us hereafter. Very truly yours, Sam. 50. Clemens. Private and General. I was to have gone to Washington tonight, but have held over a day to attend a dinner given by a lot of newspaper editors and literary scallywags at the Westminster Hotel. Shall go down tomorrow, if I survive the banquet. Yours truly, Sam. Clemens. Mark Twain, in Washington, was in line for political preferment. His wide acquaintance on the Pacific slope, his new fame and growing popularity, his powerful and dreaded pen, all gave him special distinction at the Capitol. From time to time the offer of one office or another tempted him, but he wisely, or luckily, resisted. In his letters home are presented some of his problems. To Mrs. Jane Clemens and Mrs. Moffat, in St. Louis. 224 F Street, Washington, February 6, 1868. My dear mother and sister, for 2 months there have been some 50 applications before the government for the postmastership of San Francisco, which is the heaviest concentration of political power on the coast, and consequently is a post which is much coveted. Comma, when I found that a personal friend of mine, the chief editor of the Alta, was an applicant, I said I didn't want it. I would not take $10, 000 a year out of a friend's pocket. The 2 months have passed. I heard day before yesterday that a new and almost unknown candidate had suddenly turned up on the inside track and was to be appointed at once. I didn't like that and went after his case in a fine passion. I hunted up all our senators and representatives and found that his name was actually to come from the president early in the morning. Then Judge Field said, if I wanted the place he could pledge me the president's appointment, and Senator Conness said he would guarantee me the Senate's confirmation. It was a great temptation, but it would render it impossible to fill my book contract, and I had to drop the idea. I have to spend August and September in Hartford, which isn't San Francisco. Mr. Conness offers me any choice out of 5 influential California offices. Now, someday or other I shall want an office, and then, just my luck, I can't get it, I suppose. They want to send me abroad, as a consul or a minister. I said I didn't want any of the pie. God knows I am mean enough and lazy enough now, without being a foreign consul. Sometime in the course of the present century I think they will create a commissioner of patents, and then I hope to get a berth for Orion. I published 6 or 7 letters in the Tribune while I was gone. Now I cannot get them. I suppose I must have them copied. Love to all, Sam. Orion Clemens was once more a candidate for office. Nevada had become a state, with regularly elected officials, and Orion had somehow missed being chosen. His day of authority had passed, and the law having failed to support him, he was again back at his old occupation, setting type in St. Louis. He was, as ever, full of dreams and inventions that would someday lead to fortune. With the gift of the seller's imagination, inherited by all the family, he lacked the driving power which means achievement. More and more as the years went by he would lean upon his brother for moral and physical support. The chances for him in Washington do not appear to have been bright. The political situation under Andrew Johnson was not a happy one. To Orion Clemens, in St. Louis, 224 F Street, Wash. February 21, 1868, my dear bro. I am glad you do not want the clerkship, for that patent office is in such a muddle that there would be no security for the permanency of a place in it. The same remark will apply to all offices here now, and no doubt will, till the close of the present administration. Any man who holds a place here now stands prepared at all times to vacate it. You are doing now exactly what I wanted you to do a year ago. We chase phantoms half the days of our lives. It is well if we learn wisdom even then, and save the other half. I am in for it. I must go on chasing them until I marry, then I am done with literature and all other bosh, that is, literature wherewith to please the general public. I shall write to please myself then. I hope you will set type till you complete that invention, for surely government pap must be nauseating food for a man whom God has enabled to saw wood and be independent. It really seemed to me a falling from grace, the idea of going back to San Francisco nothing better than a mere postmaster, albeit the public would have thought I came with gilded honors, and in great glory. I only retain correspondence enough now to make a living for myself, and have discarded all else, so that I may have time to spare for the book. Drat the thing, I wish it were done, or that I had no other writing to do. This is the place to get a poor opinion of everybody in. There isn't one man in Washington, in civil office, who was the brains of Anson Burlingham, and I suppose, if China had not seized and saved his great talents to the world, this government would have discarded him when his time was up. There are more pitiful intellects in this Congress. Oh, Jiminy, there are few of them that I find pleasant enough company to visit. I am most infernally tired of Washington and its distractions. To be busy is a man's only happiness, and I am otherwise I should die ears. Aft Sam. The secretarial position with Senator Stewart was short-lived. One cannot imagine Mark Twain as anybody's secretary, and doubtless there was little to be gained on either side by the arrangement. They parted without friction, though in later years, when Stewart had become old and irascible, he used to recount a list of grievances, and declare that he had been obliged to threaten violence in order to bring Mark to terms. But this was because the author of Roughing It had in that book taken liberties with the senator, to the extent of an anecdote and portrait which, though certainly harmless enough, had for some reason given deep offense. Mark Twain really had no time for secretary work. For one thing, he was associated with John Swinton in supplying a Washington letter to a list of newspapers, and then he was busy collecting his Quaker City letters and preparing the copy for his book. Matters were going well enough when trouble developed from an unexpected quarter. The Alta California had copyrighted the letters and proposed to issue them in book form. There had been no contract which would prevent this, and the correspondence which Clemens undertook with the Alta management led to nothing. He knew that he had powerful friends among the owners, if he could reach them personally, and he presently concluded to return to San Francisco, make what arrangement he could, and finish his book there. It was his fashion to be prompt. In his next letter we find him already on the way. To Mrs. Jane Clemens and family, in St. Louis. At sea, Sunday, March 15th, Lat. 25. 1868, dear folks, I have nothing to write, except that I am well, that the weather is fearfully hot, that the Henry Chauncey is a magnificent ship, that we have 1,200 passengers on board, that I have 2 staterooms, and so am not crowded, that I have many pleasant friends here, and the people are not so stupid as on the Quaker City, that we had divine service in the main saloon at 10:30 this morning, that we expect to meet the upward bound vessel in latitude 23, and this is why I am writing now. We shall reach Aspinwall Thursday morning at 6 o'clock, and San Francisco less than 2 weeks later. I worry a great deal about being obliged to go without seeing you all, but it could not be helped. Dan Sloat, my splendid roommate in the Quaker City, and the noblest man on earth, will call to see you within a month. Make him dine with you, and spend the evening. His house is my home always in New York. Here's Affy, Sam. The San Francisco trip proved successful. Once on the ground, Clemens had little difficulty in convincing the Alta publishers that they had received full value in the newspaper use of the letters, and that the book rights remained with the author. A letter to Bliss conveys the situation. To Elisha Bliss Jr., in Hartford. San Francisco, May 5, 68. E. Bliss Jr. Esquire, Dr. Sir, the Alta people, after some hesitation, have given me permission to use my printed letters, and have ceased to think of publishing them themselves in book form. I am steadily at work, and shall start east with the completed manuscript about the middle of June. I lectured here, on the trip, the other night over $1,600 in gold in the house, every seat taken and paid for before night. Here's truly, Mark Twain. But he did not sail in June. His friends persuaded him to cover his lecture circuit of 2 years before, telling the story of his travels. This he did with considerable profit, being everywhere received with great honors. He ended this tour with a second lecture in San Francisco, announced in a droll and characteristic fashion which delighted his Pacific admirers, and ensured him a crowded house.
See Mark Twain. A Biography, Chapter 5, and Appendix H.
His agreement had been to deliver his MS. About August 1st. Returning by the Chauncey, July 28th, he was 2 days later in Hartford, and had blessed the copy for the new book in Bliss's hands. It was by no means a compilation of his newspaper letters. His literary vision was steadily broadening. All of the letters had been radically edited, some had been rewritten, some entirely eliminated. He probably thought very well of the book, an opinion shared by Bliss, but it is unlikely that either of them realized that it was to become a permanent classic and the best-selling book of travel for at least 50 years. X. Letters 1868-70. Courtship, and The Innocents Abroad. The story of Mark Twain's courtship has been fully told in the completer story of his life. It need only be briefly sketched here as a setting for the letters of this period. In his letter of January 8th we note that he expects to go to Elmira for a few days, as soon as he has time. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.